The new album, The Panic Broadcast, comes out in July everywhere. Can you tell us a little bit more about it, the concept and ideas behind this release?
Well, I think it takes us back in a way to the vibe that we had on Natural Born Chaos, as far as being playful and progressive and very atmospheric, and that's something that we wanted to capture once again. I mean, we didn't want to do another Natural Born Chaos, but just capture that vibe and take it to a new level, and I believe we did. I'm really, really proud of the album, and as I said, very playful, very progressive, but we also come to the point, you know, and it feels like a good summary of the whole solo career. It feels like everything is in there, you know. And as far as the concept, the Panic Broadcast, it deals with, you know, the brain, how it can fool you so many times, and misconceptions, illusions, and deals with panic anxiety, and you know, so it's kind of like opening up, because that's the only way to deal with you know, those things like panic anxiety. You need to accept it and open up and turn it around. So that's what I refer to, you know, as far as the broadcast goes.
And what about the cover work? It seems kind of different from what you expect from how you just described the album. What does it mean to you guys?
Well, I mean, basically, the keyboard player, Sven, his friend, wanted to do the cover, so he just needed some keywords for me. So that's what I kind of wrote down for him, you know, like misconceptions, illusions, you know, of the mind, and you know, panic, state of panic. And this is what he came up with, you know, and I was kind of surprised. It's not what I expected, but then again, I feel that he has that kind of vibe, you know, with that kind of person sitting on that throne. It's almost like the threshold to the panic state. It's like the whole process, you know, and you see those kind of, what do you say, like swirls in the background. It's like very illusional in a way. So I thought it really worked out good in the end. And when you go through the whole booklet, it will make more sense, because it's kind of like going through the whole thing. So I'm really happy about it, how it turned out.
And, well, I mean, the last three albums from the band have charted in most countries, and they've been improving over the years. Is there any pressure about this new album that you guys think?
There's always got to be some kind of a pressure. We've only felt good about pressure in a way, and I think we need it. And I guess, you know, this time around we just didn't have any doubt, because we just saw it all come together, and we felt so much inspiration, and, you know, the fact that Peter was back as well and felt so much inspiration and did a lot of things too, and also having Sylvain in the band, who's a very good songwriter and have a lot of interesting ideas. So we felt very confident, and I think you can hear that on the album too. And I'm so, you know, proud about the album and so confident that nothing, you know, can really change that. And but obviously you need a little bit of the pressure. There's always, you know, especially for Peter, I guess, since he was the producer of the album, you know, and he needed to, like, deliver a nice production, and then also as being part of the band, as a member, you know, and a songwriter. So he had kind of, like, double pressure there, but I think he handled it so well, and he's very happy about it, too.
Talking about Peter again, how did his return to the band in 2008 happen?
Well, I mean, we were supposed to kind of start a band on the side, me and Peter, like a studio band, like a non-touring band, to do something together, because, you know, we never lost contact, and we started this band, and we're the best of friends, you know, so we had plans for that, and he started sending me some songs, and then he sent me a song called The Thrill, and it was like, wow, it's really cool, you know, it sounds very different, but it also reminds me of Soul Work, you know, and I talked to him, like, yeah, I guess it does, you know. And then after a while, he was like, so how do you feel about Soul Work nowadays? And I was like, yeah, I don't know. It's like, and then he's like, the more we talked about it and the more songs we started writing, you know, it felt like, you know, why don't we just do this in Soul Work instead? And that's kind of how he felt after a while. And his wife was really pushing him as well. He's like, you're supposed to be with Bjorn, you know, in a band. And let's, you know, I think you should do it. And after a while, he liked the idea and started to feel that inspiration again, especially after he became a father as well, you know, so, yeah.
And how did the other guitar player that you guys had in between found out about the news, and how did he take it?
Well, I mean, it was kind of a slow process, and we were by the time, you know, he came back, Daniel was in the band, and, you know, I guess it was a natural thing, even though it seems kind of harsh, that Peter would return to his former duties, because Daniel was taking care of those, you know, things, and we just felt that, you know, if Peter really wanted to come back to the band, and after all, it was me and Tim started the band in the beginning, so, you know, it was probably the hardest decision I've ever had to make, you know, or we had to make, and so it was really tough, you know, letting Daniel go, because he did a great job, and now he's in Dark Tranquillity and doing well there, and there's no hard feelings, so everything is cool, you know, but it was definitely, you know, hard, for sure, but we were honest about it. It's not like we were planning this for, you know, a year behind his back, definitely not. It was just that decision, you know, it took a lot of time, and yeah.
And how does it work, working long distance with Peter, since he lives in the U.S., and I'm assuming you guys live in Sweden?
Well, I mean, we're pretty much spread out all over the world. Peter lives in North Carolina. I live in Sweden together with the bass player and the keyboard player, and then we have Dirk living in Cleveland. And then we have Sylvain, the new guitarist, living outside Paris, so we're all over the place, you know. It's pretty crazy, so we can't really, you know, rehearse. Which is, you know, we just meet up before tours and stuff and start rehearsing, do pre-productions. So that's the only way of doing it, you know. But it is what it is, but it works fine, you know.
And how do you think that the albums, I mean, because this is a model that a lot of bands are using these days, how do you think the albums turn out when there's not that connection of rehearsing couple times a week and stuff like that?
Well, of course, we would love to jam, you know. That would be the best way of doing it. And it's just, you know, I think it, as long as you have that kind of communication, you know, like sending tracks back and forth, it actually worked like that. You know, like Sylvain had a couple of riffs and he sent it to Peter and he started like developing, you know, the song from that, and it's just an interesting way of doing it as well. But of course, jamming would be awesome too, you know, so we definitely miss that sometimes. But, you know, like I said before, it is what it is, and we're definitely making the best out of it, you know, having good communication and all that, so.
And how has it been working with Nuclear Blast? You were at Century Media for a couple of albums, and then you started evolving with Nuclear Blast. How does the label has been treating you guys?
I feel it's been going really good. They always had a lot of faith in the band, and it's there still, and always supported what we've done. And you know, in the beginning, we had a label here in Europe called Listenable Records, and then, as you said, we had Century Media in the States. And back then, we didn't do much touring in the States, so we didn't have much connection with Century Media. We didn't talk to them that much. But I feel the change to Nuclear Blast worked out really good, and having the same label pretty much everywhere. So I feel that they've been pushing us quite a lot in North America as well. So I think it's a good cooperation.
And what are your thoughts on how the band sounds changed over the years? You've been adding more modern metal / metalcore elements. How do you feel that this has taken place?
Well, it's always been a matter of us not wanting to do the same album twice and always wanted to develop as musicians. And, I mean, we started the band when we were, like, 17, and already back then we had a vision of doing something, you know, different. And you know, and I remember that City with Strapping and Lad really inspired us to do something, you know, different. You know, not that we ended up sounding like Strapping and Lad at all, but, you know, the vibe, you know. And I feel, you know, it's been like we're growing up with this band, and, you know, so many things happen in your life during that time, and you want to express yourself, and you find new ways to express yourself. And I, like, personally, as far as, you know, taking the route of doing clean vocals as well, was a natural thing to me, you know, to develop as a singer. I thought it was fun, you know, and it was never in my mind that's like, okay, we need to do something about this and sound more commercial. It was a natural thing for me, you know, because I, you know, I love all kinds of vocal styles, and we actually, you know, one of the originators of that whole, you know, scene or genre, even as far as, you know, blending melodic vocals to screen vocals in that sense, you know. And it was kind of later on that the whole metalcore thing came along, and a lot of American metalcore bands, you know, kind of blending the hardcore and the metal and doing that those clean vocals. And it's sometimes it's weird hearing like people calling Soulwork like metalcore, because I just don't, you know, I don't really see the point there, because we kind of started that whole thing, and you know, and I don't know, it's kind of a weird feeling. But then again, I know that we inspired so many bands in that genre, and to me that's a really great feeling, and also an honor, and it's kind of hard to grasp, you know, because I'm 32 years old and already inspired so many bands, you know, and we're kind of in the same age, so it's really cool.
And how do you feel about the fans? They were hardcore melodic death metal fans when you guys started, and now they're like, do you think they'll ever come back along with the new, with the different sound that the band has now than from the beginning?
Well, I mean, I do respect that. You know, it's not like, you know, that I just take for granted that everyone out there that ever listened to Soulwork will develop and like everything, you know, we do, you know. It's just because we want to change doesn't mean that they have to change. It's not what I'm saying, you know. And I do respect that, and I love, you know, the chain heart and all that, you know. It's really great stuff, and I still love them, and I'm still really proud of that. But I first of all, you need to think of you know, of yourself and where you want to take it and develop as a musician. And you know, we can only be, like, grateful that so many fans out there, you know, so many loyal solo fans are kind of developing with the band and kind of expect some kind of a surprise for each album.
And where do you feel that the sound will, I mean, the music, the sound behind the band will take you next?
How it's going to be next, you mean? Like, on the...
Yeah,
we'll
in the future, yeah. Where do you guys want to take it?
That's really hard to say. I mean, it's when I listen to this album, it's like I'm kind of feeling like, how the hell are we going to top this? That's what I feel, you know. Maybe not everyone agrees, but that's really how I feel, because it seems, you know, it has so much presence and it feels so real to me, and it's really hard to kind of top that. And there's always going to be, you know, some surprises for each album, and but there's always going to be, you know, a Soulwork vibe over each album, and I think we've maintained that feeling. And I think we've been a really brave band, you know, in the end, because we never done the same album twice. And a lot of bands who get like a hit album, and they don't dare to do anything else but that album all over again, you know. And I feel that we've been brave in that sense. So I think that's pretty cool too, you know. So let's see where it's taking us. It's right now I'm still high on the album, you know, that we have out, or that will come out in 1 month. So I'm still kind of focusing on that. So
I mean, a lot of the new albums, including you guys' album, has a lot of production to it. How do you feel that works live, when, I mean, some of that stuff might not be able to be done exactly in the live setting?
Well, yeah, of course it's hard to do the album live, you know. And but then again, it should be something different. It's kind of boring just seeing a band that sounds exactly like the album live. But, you know, we try to keep it very, you know, real and organic. I know that, you know, a lot of bands use a lot of triggers and stuff, but we really try to keep it as organic as possible and natural, you know. And this album is very natural, but it sounds very hard-hitting still, you know, like very convincing and very big. So I really hope, you know, I think we've pulled it off so far, so I don't really see why we wouldn't pull this album off live. But then again, it will be something different live, you know, and I feel that's what it should be. That's kind of what I expect in a way from other bands too that I like, you know, when I go see live.
Yeah. And, I mean, you guys have a tour coming up in July and August here in the States with Augury, Death Angel, Mutiny Within. Can you tell us more about how this package came together?
Well, first we plan to do a festival summer here in Europe, but since the album is getting released in the middle of the summer, we thought we wanted to be more busy than that, and we started thinking about doing a U.S. headline tour, and you know, and it's actually really nice to come to the States like in the summer for a change. We've been there in the winter time, like the latest 5 years, and it's kind of sucks sometimes. But so it's gonna be really good to do it in the summer, and I mean the package is good. Death Angel is a great band, classic band, and a good live band. And I guess it was kind of like a management thing and a booking agency thing, but they obviously like bounced it off with us in the band, and we when we heard about Death Angel, it's like yeah, that's a really cool idea, you know, and great band and that we like. So.
And what are you thought? I'm sorry, what?
No worries.
Oh, okay.
Go on.
What are your thoughts on the current touring packages here in the U.S.? You get a whole mix of bands, and I mean, for sometimes it might be good, sometimes it might be bad. What are your opinions on that?
Well, I mean, I don't mind having like, you know, lineups or bills with like different sounding bands, and sometimes it goes a little bit, you know, too far, I guess. But but at the same time, like I don't want to, like personally, like if I go and watch Cannibal Corpse, I don't want to see five more death metal bands before that, like sounding kind of the same. Like I would rather hear something that sounds a little bit different. So I'm all for having kind of varied bills.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it depends on people, because I mean, I had other people having the opinion that they don't want to see Cannibal Corpse and Epica, for example, in the same show.
Yeah, I can agree with that. You know, I wouldn't take it that far, but, you know, I don't know, maybe something else, you know, let's say, like, Creator and Cannibal Corpse, that would work, you know?
Yeah, that is true. And what do you think that, I mean, a lot of European bands have actually been able to tour successfully in the U.S. Up until the last few years. What do you think that's due to?
Well, I guess a lot of, like, American bands got really influenced from this. This is going to sound really bitter, but I don't mean it in a bitter way. But I feel that a lot of, like, American bands came out and got really influenced by a lot of European bands. And I feel sometimes that, you know, they obviously will get more attention because they're from the country, you know, and I don't blame them because it's kind of the same here, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess that's kind of what happened, and it's a tough market, and it's hard to get through, and there's so many great bands in America, too, and I mean bands like Lamb of God and Killswitch Engage and, you know, for example, great bands who have gone so far and are huge, and they're both influenced by Swedish stuff, but they've done something really, really good out of it, you know?
Yeah.
So, it's hard to say what it is, but that's kind of my take on it, which is not, you know, I'm not bitter about it, it's just how it works, and I understand it, you know?
And do you think that you guys have finally made it through the American market, since you tour constantly and your albums have debuted so high in the Billboard Hitseeker chart?
I think we've been doing pretty good. It's, like I said before, it's hard for a European band to really come through or break through in America, but I think we've done really good, and I really hope this new album is also kind of, you know, get us back on track as well, and I feel we have a lot of like loyal American fans as well, for sure, you know, that are really into the music, the whole concept, everything.
And I mean, Soilwork is one of the bands that has one of the, or I mean, it's from what we've seen recently, that has like massive online social media presence. How involved or how much of this is you guys' decision to have?
Well, I mean, of course, it's also the label that, like, you know, have ideas about this and present it to us, but we've also talked about, like, getting the fans more in touch with the band, and as far as we're working on, a fan club right now as well, you know, for people to get extra, you know, kind of, what do you say, like, extra access to what the band is doing, and I think it's important to you know, do those things and to do something special you know, for the fans. But obviously, it's also a label thing. But we're all for it, you know, for sure. The more we can connect with the fans, the better, you know. And we do have a lot of loyal fans, and they really deserve something more, you know.
Yeah. And, for example, with the studio reports that we've seen from a lot of the exactly Nuclear Blast bands, in our opinion, that takes a little bit off the edge and the expectation for the new albums from bands. What are your thoughts on that?
Does it feel like that, like when you see too much of the studio?
Well,
I understand what you mean.
Yeah, I mean, well, at least for us, since we were like old school and we just waited for months, years to just get the CD back in the day with, I mean.
Yeah, I see your point. You know, I definitely do, and it's pretty interesting because maybe, you know, I would feel the same in a way, and because you just want to see that album. It's like, oh, it's out. It's like you need the date, you know, and the store. That's all you need, you know, and it's there. And before that, so I see your point, and but then again, I think a lot of people think it's very interesting as well to follow the whole process, so I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, we think that it would be an interesting way to see how much of the older fans like this versus the newer fans, because, I mean, the newer fans have, I mean, they want the content right now, since that's what the current social networking technology has given them, so it will be an interesting comparison to see who prefers what, I guess.
Yeah, true.
And how do you feel that piracy has affected the band now that it's getting more attention in this market, for example?
Well, I don't know if it has changed that much. A little bit, I guess. But then again, we don't really get too much money from the record sales. It's mostly from doing shows and merchandise and all that. But I feel that it's also a little bit back on track, that people start buying, you know, albums, you know, iTunes and whatnot, and I feel that the whole piracy thing has gone away a little bit. And, you know, then again, I would rather pay for an album that I really like than to just download it for free. It just feels better, you know, and I do want to support bands that I like, so.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, so most people do, but there's always the ones that don't. And,
yeah, because they feel, they earn millions of dollars anyway, so I can download it, and it's so not true.
Yeah, exactly. And, for example, what are your thoughts on having the release dates? For example, in Europe is July 2nd, in the U.S. is July 13th. There's 2 weeks gap there that, I don't know, do you think that this is, I mean, it's obviously something from the label, but do you think that this is something that has to go away?
Well, I don't think it's going to affect the whole thing that much, and I think it's going to be pretty much the same thing anyway. You know, people that will, that like soul work or who would have any interest in soul work would get it anyway, or, you know, I guess you're referring to how people would download it, like, once it's out here.
Well,
since
the labels hand out the promos to the press and everything, I mean, the albums get leaked. I think you guys' albums already leaked, so I don't see it from that perspective, but sometimes, yes, I mean, that could definitely take a hit, because there's some releases that are, like, a month apart.
Yeah.
But yeah, I guess that's...
Yeah, true. But it's fine. I mean, there's not much you can do about it. It is what it is, and, you know, I'm sure that people will get it anyway, so...
And, well, just to kind of start closing this interview off... Where do you see the band in the future? What are your expectations, and what do you want to reach with soul work?
Oh, man, I've already reached so much with this band, and I feel very satisfied and proud, and it's really, really hard to say where we're going in the future, because I'm so high on this album still, and I haven't been this proud, you know, about an album since, you know, Natural Born Chaos, and I really, really mean that. And it's right now, it's like when you start thinking about that, it's like, wow, it's like freaking out. How are we going to top this, you know? And so I'm just trying to focus on this album right now and do the best out of it and you know, do a lot of touring. And we'll just see how it goes. It's really hard to see right now.
And one of our last questions, if you could have an all-star band of any dead or alive musicians, who would you pick to play with you? And what kind of music would you guys play?
Oh, man. That's a tough one. I would probably pick Cozy Powell on drums. And bass player. That's always a hard question. on bass, who would that be? Not quite sure who that would be. Maybe Steve Harris. And guitar, Richie Blackmore and Jakey Lee. And who else? Can I share the microphone
yeah.
with somebody?
Yeah.
Okay. That's cool. Then I would probably pick Glenn Hughes.
Yeah.
Me and Glenn Hughes on vocals.
And what kind of music would you think you guys play?
I don't know. We will just mix some kind of drugged out 70s psychedelia mixed with Mastodon.
Well, that sounds pretty interesting, I guess.
Yeah.
So is there anything else that you want to add to the American Fans of Soul work and everybody else listening to this interview?
I think we covered it pretty much. Just, you know, like I said before, really proud about the album, and I really hope that the fans out there are going to be really excited about the album as well, and can't wait to perform it live. So, see you soon.
Okay, well, thank you very much. Good luck promoting the album and the new upcoming tour.